Closing out the week here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. It's been a long week, or has it been a short week? Fast week?
Fast week. Good week.
Good week.
Yeah.
One more game for the Toronto Maple Leafs before they shut it down for the next... How long is the tournament? 10 days? It's not that long.
Yeah, they play on the 8th and they play on the 22nd, the Leafs do. So there's a gap in there.
Well, wherever you're watching, listening, live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, we're glad you're with us for the next 2 hours. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake Schultz with you. Toronto Maple Leafs, fine fashion. I told you guys yesterday I wouldn't play Stolarz. I said, but he could pitch a shutout and make me eat my words. Mm-hmm. Almost pitched a shutout. Still ate a good chunk of my words, but
it's fine. You wanted to eat the words.
Just
you're hoping
little
to
safe
words.
Than sorry.
Yeah.
But it was quite the remarkable appearance after being off for a very long time here with 26 saves.
Go ahead. I like to think, you're giving yourself too much, being too hard on yourself here. I do like to tell you you're wrong, Kipper, but at this point, I think your point is still a valid one about him not playing and him maybe resting and coming back or whatever. He looked great last night, but it's still not like you're, not being, you're being too
they
hard.
Dodged a bullet.
Yeah, sure.
But, the save he makes on Montour, probably the cherry on top of a pretty good night.
Yeah.
I thought he looked great. He's now a .929 save percentage. When he's been in, man, he's been, outside Hellebuck, as good as it gets.
His last start, his last game was December 12th.
Oh, that's my birthday.
And, happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. did
we get him anything, Sammy?
Did we say it on air? I can't remember.
I think so.
Okay.
Mark it down for next year, would you?
No, we did. I remember because your wife texted me to be like, hey, make sure you say something.
There are some signs. For me, the biggest one for goaltenders that have been off a real long time is rebound control. Mm-hmm. And there's no signs of it. I found it fascinating to watch how aggressive and confident he felt being off that long.
Same here. And they said on the broadcast that he had been good, cleared to play for 7 to 10 days prior to that game and just really wanted to get to a place where he felt confident. And certainly looked like he felt confident last night. That's a good sign.
They did a good job on the broadcast last night of pointing out when he got hurt on December 12th, the push that he did on the right knee. And, he grabs at him. He misses the rest of that game. He misses 2 months. And then the play he made, was it the first or second shift of the game where the puck bounces over to the right side and he just pushes really hard.
Yeah.
Hit runs into the post, makes an unbelievable save. But I'm watching that. I'm like, I could barely watch.
It does bring up the point that he's very hard on his body.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
right?
He's flying around.
It's not that hard when you constantly watch how aggressive he is, and he's a big body, a big frame, he's heavy, that how there could be wear and tear over the years with that big of a of a mass.
He's got
moving
his retirement to use crutches.
That
lay
quickly.
It on the line now.
Right.
I would like to see him get rewarded with a nice contract, and that's something we haven't talked about, but he hasn't made big money for a guy who's been awesome in the NHL for a while.
There's no one out there that would look at his medical records and go, hey, how's a 6-year deal for you?
But he's got to be 10 teams his goaltenders stink or die
in
a half.
He's in
for
the first
sure.
year of his contract here. Let's go. Let's just be
right?
easy here, boys. Come on. Don't walk him out the door just yet.
It's just. Like if you want to talk about a real short window where you can make maybe $5 or $6 million for a year or two, I think you could maybe go there. And you got to watch the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Right? You just got to.
I mean, he literally just signed a $5 million contract for 2 years this offseason.
Yeah.
So he just made that money that you were talking about. Anyways.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube on Anthony Stolarz and what he saw last night in Seattle.
Hang on one sec. We're having tech issue.
Okay. We got a computer malfunction up there.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're
Clip
back.
One.
Yeah, no, it's great, obviously. I mean, he's a big part of this team. We know that. And when he was out, we missed him, but I thought he played a heck of a game.
There you go.
All right. Well, why don't we do the overview of the whole thing while we're talking to Craig, shall we?
Well, just, you know, having Stolarz look that good coming off of a two-month absence where, you know, he didn't miss a beat. He feels the same way. Every little sentence you can say about it, it applied last night. You know, I've been saying the thing that you guys have been, not you, because you're a nice guy, but Kipper's been looking at me rude, the hairy eyeball, that I actually have a bit of hope here that this goaltending situation could propel this team to some higher heights than they've been in years past. Watching that game last night, he was unbelievable, and he's been off for 2 months, and he's the second best goalie in the league, and their other goalie's good.
I'm okay with what you're saying up until just the point where it's like, but if it does falter a little bit, if it does pull back a little bit, I'm more hyper-focused still on what's missing or what's not quite right in front of them.
Well, yes.
But
they've never had this, Kip. They have in this whole Matthews and Marner era.
Oh, no.
They've never
had
this.
Listen, you got to go back to Belfour and Podvan and Cujo to even have anything that remotely resembles this.
And Freddie was good.
No, Freddie's not even.
He's not even in the same conversation.
Not in the same conversation.
No. So,
no. And I get it. There's a lot to be excited about because I'm looking around the league and there's not a team that can touch that right now.
No.
Just need one of them, you know?
So, are you going to stay on goaltending here?
It was.
Okay,
yeah.
Go.
When the Leafs tried to shore up their power play this offseason, they had Riley and OEL, and they're like, one of them should be able to play the point. Saying one of them doesn't always feel great, and it's kind of how I feel about their goalies here. Like, surely one of them will play well in the playoffs, right? But to see the other guy, the first guy is going to have to fail. I am curious to know if one of them becomes the guy. If it's like, this is our guy, we got 28 games left. Is there time for one of them to become the guy? So it's not one of these guys will do it. Who's going to do it?
So that you're thinking about that. If you have two starters, you don't have one
right.
Situation. That's what you're getting at here.
You said it much better than I did.
I don't envision either one of them going on a 3 or 4 week heater in the playoffs.
No, you think it'd be tag the other guy in
yes.
as need be.
Yeah, I think if it may be that year where you go 1A, 1B, and I'm not saying that you wouldn't get consecutive starts in the playoffs. You can go 2 or 3, but there might be that game where it doesn't look that great and you go to the other guy and you let the other one regroup or reset. Because there's been a lot of regrouping, a lot of resetting over the last few years. And I just think that they're...
And you lose the playoffs. I think everyone loses.
I think they're just... Many of them are just built differently. The mentality of that workhorse in net seems to be kind of dying a little bit. And I'm sure we'll get into this more in our national hour with Ullmark, who every Ottawa fan... And probably everybody in the organization were going like, but we need you here. Mm-hmm. We're playing Tampa Bay. It's a huge game.
You think they were bummed he wasn't in last night?
And he was nowhere to be found to start.
Dr. Seasonoff visiting with him again?
Apparently.
Yeah.
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 Do you guys think the Wool Stolarz statue when they win the cup will be Woolarz and it'll be half and half? Just Woolarz at the bottom? Like, both their number on the back.
I dare you to say that in our national hour.
Yeah. yes. No, that's enough. I'm going to pass on that.
Go share that with Vancouver, Winnipeg, and Edmonton.
But regardless, like, if this, you know, it's a big if, okay? But if you're getting close to what these two guys' level is in the playoffs.
Yes, you have a chance.
Regardless of who you put in there. You feel good, like you have the chance, like you have the edge in that, and clearly the Stars still need to shoot it in the net, and lots of things need to happen for you to win.
Yeah.
But goaltending's a pretty big part of it.
It's starting pitching. You can win
2-1. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, right? They've lost a lot of 2-1 games, too.
Well, these two tendies.
Just the other part of the equation last night, and like if it was a Samsonov in that last night, was that another game that they could find a way to lose?
That's a good question. Yeah, it's not like Stolarz had to steal the game.
No, he didn't steal the game.
Another goalie could have let it slip away.
I saw a lot of pressure, and I saw a lot of missed opportunities by Seattle, and, you know, if they got a bounce or break.
What an exciting team they are.
Yeah, right? Is anyone
Shane Wright's
listening?
All alone in the slot, and anything but where he shot it would have been a huge goal for him. And it's like, on top of Stolarz playing terrific, if they would have just found a way to get a few by him, are we talking about a potential loss last night?
Yeah, and that's, you never know. You know, you let one of those up early and maybe it changes the tone of the game. So they got what they needed out of their goaltenders.
Yeah, really good. Did you guys like the newly minted second line?
Well, first we just say the Kraken. That's not much.
Oof.
Great team to watch.
Oof.
They are in no man's land. Okay?
Yeah.
No, they're like, they're the Islanders. You think you're good. You think you're in it. You're not.
We suck.
Do you think they think they're in it? I feel like they're worse than the Islanders.
They felt that way maybe a week and a half ago.
They've lost 5 of 6 now, I think.
Yeah, they're 11 points out of a playoff spot now.
But just,
they're lost.
What's the building block there?
You know what's interesting is we had John Forslund on yesterday and asked what he made of things. And he said what you just said. He was like, the defensive structure, they just kind of aren't sure what they're doing out there. And I listened to that. I'm like, you never hear that. Like that, he basically said the coach has got them.
And then
you
watch him last night, and you're like, get it.
Yes.
And that's their play-by-play guy.
I know. Yeah. He's seeing it a ton.
Yeah.
Right?
Bylsma was coaching in the American League. Is this his first year?
Yeah.
He was with Coachella Valley the year before.
Yeah.
And then he moved out.
They had Todd McClellan and Dean Evason.
As options.
Turn them down to go for Dan Bylsma.
Oopsies.
Okay? Yeah. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
And
mistake.
How many other teams were fighting for Dan Bylsma?
You know, and I'm trying to make sense of why that would happen. And I got to say, from what I know of or hear about Bylsma, it's not like he's a warm and fuzzy guy to be around. You know, like, it's not like it's, oh, we did this because it'll be great with the media or whatever. Like, I don't know. To me, it seems like passing up on particularly Evason, who's turned Columbus around McClellan, obviously doing great too.
The more you hear out of Seattle, the more you think that it was like a real collective group that made the coaching decision on top of whatever power Ron Francis had. But this was Dan Bylsma was handpicked by a number of people in that organization. Hmm.
Maybe they're selling themselves on him being with the guys that are moving up through the organization, kind of like
trying
to be like the John Cooper of Seattle who coached the Admirals and came up with all those guys. And it's like, it's really not John Cooper.
All those guys are Shane Wright in this case.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah, basically it, I guess. Anyways.
Where do you want to go? You want to go with the lines?
The second line,
of Marner, Tavares, and Nylander?
Yeah, you want to hear good radio? I need more.
We got a clip on it.
I need to see more.
All right, let's go to head coach Berube.
Clip 4.
They were fine, but I thought they could execute it better on some situations that they didn't. They normally would. Just kind of mishandled pucks and didn't execute the pass at the time. Because there was opportunities for them to, you know, strike and get some opportunities, but I didn't think that... They executed well enough. I think in general our team, maybe execution with the puck was a little off tonight for me.
So that's kind of exactly it for me, Kip, was that I thought on any other night where they looked a little sharper, they could have made a couple of plays. There could have been something there, but there wasn't something there.
Yeah. You know how critical I am of needing to see more puck movement?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if they overpassed last night.
It's like we're with all the boys here. Dish it about. Yeah, I could see that. You know, a couple times in the offensive zone.
Yeah, they just overdid it a little bit.
Did you catch Craig Berube pregame? I think maybe it was with Masters on the broadcast, where he was just like, you know, I really concerned about them getting to the middle of the ice and playing on the perimeter. It's like he was pre-pissed about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, you know, I'm because they asked him about that question.
Tavares
like,
gets there.
Yeah, but like, you know, he's like, I'm worried about them being too much on the perimeter and, you know, the pass. Like, basically everything that he said in this thing, he was pre-worried about and pre-pissed about. It just, it felt like they were kind of tripping over each other and they weren't in the right spots. And I just, I didn't think they were a good mix.
I think when you have talented players, it's harder. It takes some time for them to figure out how they work together. I really do. Last night didn't click immediately by any stretch.
Yeah. I didn't like Willie's game all that much, but I'm not sure if it's something that you could keep together for a long time here. Mm-hmm. I think, as to your point, you can always just in a flash put them together if you need something or a different look. But to think that this can last long, I don't really see it.
Expected goals by line last night. 40% for the fourth line, 38% for the Tavares line, like nothing there, and then 83% for the 85% for the Matthews line. So they're the only line that was any good.
I'm just looking at because the Leafs are on the ice right now because they're in BC, and the lines are the same as they were going into the game yesterday. So it looks like they're going to go back to it tonight. I mean, you have Domi on the top line, but what did Domi end up playing last night? 13 something?
Not a ton.
He's on the first line, quote unquote, but I think his shifts get limited here and there. So I think Matthews and Marner played over 24 minutes or something last night. So anyways.
Is that right? 24 minutes?
Maybe I'm not right.
No, I got it. I got it right here. Almost 23 for Matthews, and Mitch is 25.
25.
A lot of minutes last night for a regular season.
He had a three-minute shift at the end of the game. He got stuck out there at the end. So that's what happened.
All right. Nice high stick. High stick or no?
Oh, my God. All day long.
You know why it was not called a high stick?
Yeah.
Because he did it quick.
No.
Because he's moving quick and trying to...
No, you're wrong. It wasn't... It's because they only have one camera. That's why.
What do you mean, who only has one camera?
The league.
Since when?
All they had was the same highlight TSN ran about 10 times. Did you get a second angle?
No, but shouldn't they have several?
Yes, they should.
Is that a TSN thing?
I don't know who it is.
That Craven TSN.
I don't know who it is, but that's all. When the referees went to the Toronto, they only had the same angle we had.
Like, let's see another angle. And they just have one guy there filming it.
Like, that was it.
Well,
so they
have
like,
the above view, and they show the above view. I'm like, that's great.
Very helpful.
So really good stuff.
So they all thought it was a high stick, but that angle cannot definitively tell it to them or tell the officials. Therefore, the call on the ice stood.
Well, and also,
that's why it was a good goal, because they only have one camera.
The way you know it was a high stick, so for the record, happens pretty quickly, the whole thing. The way you know it's a high stick is Nyes doesn't want to admit he touched it. He sends
someone else first
Domi, down the line, whoever shot it, to make it look like that shot went clean in. And then when they say it counts, he's on the bench hiding his face and being like, what is going on here?
I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, give us a different angle. There's got to be an ice level angle.
I was watching with my dad. I'm like,
can we get
be another angle.
No, let's go to the same one. Yeah. No, let's go to third time. Fourth time, same angle all the time. I'm like, what's going on? Like, what do we got to do now? Do we have to, like, if we only have one camera, why don't we get like a sketch artist at ice level, right? Draw the picture.
Hey, if it helps the Leafs, maybe we should be doing that.
Get a homing pigeon. Have them fly it back to Toronto and then come up with a decision.
You know what's very funny about what you're saying is we used to have a goal judge that was just like Dave from Wendy's or some guy who sat in that box, was looking through the net and the posts, and he had a button, and he's like, I think from here it went in. And everyone's like, well, can't refute that.
Light came on. Good goal.
That one guy saw it, he thinks, for a second.
The goal light
from the city of the team that scored.
But I haven't thought about Dave from Wendy's in a long time.
Starting to get hungry.
He's a really nice guy.
Tom, he's the founder.
I know. No, I just...
It was like...
But it's usually the low angle, right? Like, it's the angle from the opposite end of the rink that they shoot down. Yeah. That's the telling one. But it's like they didn't have... Do you have more insight on this? Like, who's at fault for that?
I think we're beating this up, aren't we?
I don't know if it was a TSN thing. I don't know if it's a league thing.
Climate Pledge Arena thing?
All I know is that that's the same look that they went on.
Mm.
Count it.
Can we now envision a Stanley Cup playoff game?
No.
Where
no
it's
way.
Like...
Well, not in Seattle this year.
We only got the one angle?
Yeah. Surely come that on. Will not be the case.
2025?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's funny.
All right. Well, they got a break there. So... We have a special treat for everyone. It's Friday. It's Leafs Line Day. I think we should probably get out of here so we can... We have like 17 calls or something.
We got 17.
So like I want to make sure we have time to hear.
What happens if we get like sick of them after like 5 or 6?
We're not going to get to all 17.
We can talk about the penalty kill.
They did score in the power play again last night. So now the power play is red hot. Bobby McMahon again gets another goal. And
B-Mac Bills.
Different type of goal for him. High slot tip for him. But again, I think he's. I put something about it. Oh, maybe I didn't take it in there. But point streak for him now. Road point streak. I think it ties the longest since Matthews has had a long one. Like he's getting points here.
In his past, looks like 76 games. God, I forget who tweeted it, but he's got 30 goals. Like you know, we're at a season. The pace he's at is of a 30 goal guy.
Wow.
Kiffert,
all you think about is money.
Yes.
Like there's literally yes. like
that poor
every day.
That poor guy just lost $2 million.
Can't you just say what a great player for the Leafs they've
two,
got there?
Maybe $3 million.
I'm sure.
Maybe three.
Listen, I'll give you this. When they're on the mentors trip and he's having a couple beers with Joe Thornton and his sisters there, he probably had one moment where he's like, my agent kind of screwed that one up. Like, he probably has a moment here and there where he's like, you know, I probably should be making more money. Hey, we actually have a giveaway, boys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to do a quick giveaway before we go to break. On Monday, February 17th, the Toronto Marlies will take the ice at Scotiabank Arena where they face off against the Laval Rocket. The game will take place at 2 p.m. So what's a better way to spend a fun day with your family than at the Toronto Marlies game? Perfect for making memories. We are giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets right now. To enter, all you have to do is text the code word FAMILY to 590-590. Standard message and data rates may apply. Text FAMILY 590-590 right now to enter for your chance to win. If you don't win tickets with us, you can still purchase tickets to the game at Ticketmaster.ca.
Sir, is that Monday at 11? Is that what you said? It's a Monday at 11?
Monday, February 17th at 2 p.m.
We should go. The show should go. Let's go watch the Marlies and have some takes on the young guys.
Canada plays Finland at 1. So
I'll forget it.
Yeah, probably going to watch that. Sorry, Marlies. But yeah, if you want to go to that game, text FAMILY to 590-590 right now.
That's what Sportsnet Plus is for.
Great point. You can watch any game on delay like it's live. I really love Sportsnet Plus, and that's not a promo. I use it every single day.
All right, let's go.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we return, we go to Sammy's Leaf Line. And if it sucks, it's Sammy's. If it's really good, it's mine and JB's. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, my new favorite segment, hearing real life voices outside of your two.
Yeah, big fan.
You don't hear a lot of voices on a day-to-day basis, buddy?
Skip yours voices.
No.
Skip, you're on the phone 24 hours a day, buddy.
On this show, getting new voices on this show, not necessarily a guest, who get to really spew whatever they want.
Yeah.
Hi, Sammy McGee.
I get really excited though when you're on the phone, Kipper. Like, you're sitting at the desk, we're not saying anything, and then you pop up and you start like saying something interesting, like on your walking off. Like, what was he saying?
Usually it's sell.
What was he saying? Damn. Who is that?
This is all part of my Sportsnet.ca trade board.
Oh, yeah.
That has a brand new listing. Some interesting names.
Oh my God.
So we will discuss in greater detail in the National Hour.
All right.
Good. I have questions.
Oh, you do, eh?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Let's get this show started here with the Leafs line. Let's start with the first caller, Matthew from Oshawa, calling in from Mississippi.
There's been a lot of talk recently about the Leafs being interested in Dylan Cousins from the Buffalo Sabres. While I agree that he'd be a great fit for the Leafs, I am more interested in his teammate, Bowen Byram, a 23-year-old defenseman, former fourth overall pick with great offensive skills, and a cup champion with the Avalanche in 2022. I believe he could fill the Leafs' need of a true power play quarterback this year and in the future, similar to a Cale Makar or Quinn Hughes. Mm. What would it take to acquire him from Buffalo? I'd be willing to give up a Cowan or Minton, and if we could get both of them, potentially package it with a future first-round pick. Thank you for providing exciting Leafs content this season, as on the ice it has seemed to lack that at times. And lastly, go Leafs and go Generals.
Mm. All right. Yeah. Sorry about the Jennies in there.
No, that's okay. I like the...
Excellent
I'm
question.
I'm going to the Jennies game tonight. So.
Yeah, excellent question.
Okay. You know more than I do.
No. Well, just to quickly answer Matthew's question, it would take... the kitchen sink.
They get Bowen Byram?
And Dylan Cousins.
Oh, and. Yeah. The yes. And is big.
Yeah.
What about or? What about if it's just Bowen Byram?
Again, one of your top two prospects in Cowan and or Minton.
I don't trust
But you have
Byram.
To. Byron needs another contract here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's the issue here for the Buffalo Sabres is that...
Is he up? Like, his contract's up?
I believe he is a restricted free agent, Sammy.
I'll check right now.
I got it.
I think he's a restricted free agent.
Yeah, he's an RFA.
For two more years.
Okay.
And then he's...
So he's under team control for 3 years, like a baseball term.
Well, this year
and then two more. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're going to buy unrestricted years, this guy will now go to... $7.5 million.
Whoa.
Oh yeah. Oh no. He's good. The only issue with him is these concussion issues that teams may have concerns about. And I think there's plenty of time to look at that before you make a commitment. But this guy is good.
Okay? You know what's interesting that stands
and
out?
He can produce.
Yeah. He's he doesn't have any there's no evidence of that at the NHL yet. I know he can. He has 27 points, 53 games, which good. Six goals is more than double the Toronto Maple Leafs' high-scoring D. What I like is he plays 23.09 per night.
Yeah,
they have good D, and they must like him. He's played every game this season.
He's their
somehow plus eight on the Sabres.
On the Sabres,
he's their second best D behind Dahlin.
Oh yeah, you're not a power guy.
Well, no, but Power's still young and he's still learning.
Then why the hell would they trade them? Why is this
because,
guy in trade room?
Because they
have too many guys who do that.
Too much money.
And Power plays offensive D. Dahlin can play some offensive D.
So just to kind of follow up a little bit.
Good question, Matthew, by the way.
Is that they've got now this Samuelson kid who's hurt at $4 million.
I hated his contract when he signed
4.25?
Yeah.
For like forever?
That was a weird one.
It's a seven-year deal for a guy who everyone's like, who?
So if by chance... they can move that money out.
Matias.
If there's a chance that they can trade his contract out, there might be a chance to sign Byram.
Till 2030, yeah. Hmm.
But one of them can't stay.
Till 2030.
One of them can't stay. So just to spin this back to the Toronto Maple Leafs, like a Dylan Cousins and Byram trade to the Leafs is a blockbuster beyond blockbusters.
Yeah.
You're giving up maybe Minton and Cowan.
And I'm not even sure.
To start.
I'm not even sure that those are the right answers this year. You're talking about two young guys who've never been in the playoffs.
Well, Byram was.
Oh, Byram won a cup. Yeah, right? Byram was my bad.
One more equation. Then you got to find a way to get Morgan Riley's contract out by next summer.
Because you think Byram does that?
Yeah.
You're trading him because he is now your...
Nah, Riley's not going anywhere.
For the time being.
I wouldn't even challenge it. He's just going to be here.
Okay.
Let's go to Stuart from Cape Breton. We're big in the East Coast, boys.
I'm calling about a debate I've been having the past few weeks about with my buddies about Mitch Marner in the Four Nations team. Is he going to be on PP1 for Team Canada? I have one good friend who thinks he's not creative enough. They cannot facilitate enough with the big studs on the power play. I'm hoping we can prove him wrong. And if so, is he on the power play? What position will he play? Who will be on the sides, the bumpers? Braden Point? Hey, I love listening to you when I'm on. Big fan. Can't wait for Off the Rails Friday. Hear what Doug McLean's going on about some book or being on some golf course or drinking wine or something. Thanks, boys. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Thank you.
Okay, we got to play that again, but slower.
Dial down the RPMs.
Oh, go Jesus, Kate Breton boy there.
Yeah.
I caught power play for Mitch Marner.
Will Marner be on the power play at the Four Nations faceoff?
He will, but he'll be on the second unit. He won't be on the first one.
I think that makes perfect sense.
So, first unit.
Well, Makar is going to play D.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's
McDavid.
Good, yeah, okay, yeah, I like that.
McKinnon.
McKinnon, okay. Braden Point in the bumper.
And
Reinhart. I think that's got a chance to have some success.
This has a chance, he says. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the second one's going to be stuck with Sidney Crosby, Mitch Marner.
And Point.
Braden Point.
The first one, isn't he?
Well, or Reinhart, depending.
No, Reinhart.
Reinhart first one?
That's what I would do.
Probably Morrissey, the next guy you want to shoot at. Theodore, Taves. I think there's lots of options.
Anyways, good question.
Wow.
And then I don't know what he said about Doug McLean. He lost me.
He said that.
I heard wine and Doug McLean.
Looking forward to hearing your thoughts.
Looking forward to hearing Doug McLean later, unfortunately.
Good question.
Let's go to Kinley in Victoria, British Columbia.
I'm calling due to the fact that Saturday is truly my Super Bowl. I cannot stress how much this game means to me in Vancouver. Yes. I'm surrounded by idiot Canuck fans, and I truly need the Leafs to win very bad after that 3-0 stinker earlier this season. I remember when I was 7 years old, I got a Joffrey Leupel jersey for Christmas, and I was so excited to wear hockey practice. I show up to practice, and all my coach says to me, fully grown man, take it off, Leafs suck. Anyway, this leads to my question. I was thinking how badly I would want 2018 Jake Muzzin on this blue line and how it would take us from an above-average Leafs team to an instant cup contender. If you could add any one season of a Maple Leaf from the Austin Matthews era to this team, who would you choose? Also, if the Canucks ever get good again, it'd be really, really funny if you guys never mentioned it on National Hour and suddenly start talking about the Winnipeg Jets. Anyways, huge fan. Go Leafs. And let's get this win on Saturday.
Wow, great. Kinley. Sounds like a superhero.
I love the question. One season of a player from the Matthews-Marner era.
Done. I already knew it. Oh, Kadri, bud. Kadri. It's Kadri. That's what's missing.
It's Kadri.
Now you got to go trade for that guy. You need one of those
guys.
Kadri
over Ryan O'Reilly?
Well, I mean,
two trade targets.
You're talking about
be back.
You're talking about Kadri's younger, is he not now?
I don't know.
Kadri over Ryan O'Reilly now, but you're also talking about a guy that won the Conn Smythe and is already, you know, established as a premier kind of 200-foot guy. So. Mm-hmm. But Kadri for me.
It's funny that you can't name one D.
Hear me out on this one, okay? I actually liked Joel Edmondson last year, but it wouldn't be my pick. I loved the first year of Patrick Marleau on the Leafs.
Okay.
Patrick Marleau's first year as a Toronto Maple Leaf, I think he scored 25, 26 goals for the Leafs. Scored multiple goals in Game 7 against the Boston Bruins when they ended up losing 7-5. He scored 2 goals in the first period. Frederick Anderson led in 4 beer leaguers in the third period, and Jake Gardner still takes a beating for it. But Patrick Marleau on the third line right now, flying up and down the wing, doing his good defensive work. Right. I like Patrick Marleau.
You're
right now
never going to be hired.
What about
to run a team?
What about
if we're asking for one season to plop?
We're talking
this
about
team
a game changer here.
He was good, man. He was good. People forget.
Not a game changer.
You don't want all-star season, Leo Komarov.
He scored 27 in his first year as a Leaf. He was good, man. You weigh it against the crappy contract and what you had to pay to get rid of him. But that first year, man, he was really good. I'm telling you.
They almost probably got out of the first round.
He scored 2 goals in Game 7, bud. Two goals. He did.
Should have scored three then.
Yeah. Goal post keep moving.
Oh, Kadri. Oh, what a creative answer. I'm trying to get a little creative here. Oh, Kadri.
Did Kadri have good playoffs here?
He was sitting on the bed.
Suspended every
year. He was in the press box for all of them because he crushed it. Guys,
we're talking about bringing a guy back today to win.
No, but I think you're getting
the best season of a guy. If you're just putting it in here.
Oh, I thought it was to come back and play today.
You think I'm an idiot. You think I meant Patrick Marleau today retired?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I get now why you think I'm an idiot.
Yes.
Now I get it. Okay.
All right.
So, like, you can take anybody's in their prime. And
all right.
Ryan O'Reilly.
Actually, Ron Hainsey probably because he was.
Ooh, good one.
Because that's the best Riley ever was. I'm playing with him. Anyways, good chat, boys. Let's go to Doug in the Philippines.
Hi, guys. I know what you're saying about reviews. They're a little lengthy. However, having said that, in 1993, when Mr. Gilmore was cut by Mr. Gretzky and Mr. Fraser missed it, I could have used that review and we could maybe have won that cup. That's what Glenn Anderson told me. At the time, they would have beaten Montreal.
There you go.
First off, let me say, I can't believe where people are calling in from. It's L.A., it's Mississippi, it's the Philippines, it's Cape Breton. I kind of thought everyone would be from...
They're finding us.
Newmarket or something, you know?
Listen, I will say, it is a bit of a cheat code if you're, like, from somewhere cooler.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, there's... I went through all the calls today, and they were from all over the place. Like, they just are. I don't have to tell you.
The high stick that people fixate over here, was there blood involved? Would that have been a five?
But the thing is...
Yeah, there was blood.
And so they would have reviewed it for a major? Or they would, like, can... How does that work now?
Yeah, they call a major, and then they can review it.
So they would have been reviewed, and then the Leafs would
have But if no one sees it, they can't call anything.
I know this is the Leaf Hour, but how many fans out there can go back over the last 50 years and say, yeah, if we had video review then, come on.
Buffalo might want a word.
Yeah, the Sabres. I want to talk to Brett Hull.
Islanders would have lost to the Flyers on an offside.
Well, it might have been delayed, period. That's all. Bobby Nye had a pretty good head start.
There was a controversial offside in that?
Nystrom tips one in on his backhand, and he's probably a blade over the line.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lots
really?
Of white.
Yeah.
Really?
Lots of white.
I didn't look that one up. Didn't know that one. But, yeah, but you know, I think he was just making fun of you for how against it you were. And I saw, you know, people like, Kipper's trying to cost people their jobs on the reviews.
Oh, really? People had that?
Yeah, people were mad at you about that.
Cost jobs. Whose jobs?
Well, the guy, Beaner. You're going to try to put Beaner out of a job?
Bud, there's better ways.
You're anti-Beaner. Hey, admit it.
Hey,
say it.
There's better ways. There's better ways to earn $30 an hour.
Oh my God. Let's go to Chuck Nelson.
Chuck Nelson.
We've had Chuck before.
Yeah.
Up, Chuck.
17.
Hey, how's it going? Chuck Nelson here. It's been a while. Anyways, I'm calling because he had a caller on last week. He really irked me. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but I think he said he was calling from Peanut Butter and Jelly, Ontario. Anyways, the guy said he was 72 years old, lifelong Leaf fan, and is now a fan of the Ottawa Senators. What blasphemy is that? I mean, come on. At least if you were a fan of the Leafs and you turned over to the Canadians, I'd understand with their history and their 22 championships. But the Ottawa Senators? Who's an Ottawa Senator fan? They were the kids that used to eat paste in kindergarten. Anyways, back in 2012, Pancake Paul and I went to Ottawa to watch the NHL All-Star Game. We spent the entire weekend making fun of all those Ottawa Senator fans. Oh, it was such a glorious time to be alive. Anyways, that's all I have to say this week. You guys are doing a great job. Anyways, Chuck Nelson here.
Go see my movies.
Chuck has recurring character.
He's got two first names.
That's a great handle.
Yeah.
Chuck Nelson.
Yeah.
He's got fantastic energy. I love the call.
Name a kid Chuck, man. I'm into it.
Here's what I'll say about, you know, if there's any Ottawa Senators fans listening in the Ottawa region, if you're listening to the Leafs, I don't know why you would do that to yourself. But they are all getting pretty horned up about, you know, oh, we're 2 points behind the Leafs or 2 points behind the Leafs. I know you're new to this.
They're so close.
I know you're new to this. But the regular season has a lot of ebbs and flows. So don't get too up ahead of yourself. Don't get too down. Because now you're, 8 points back, 6 points back of the Leafs immediately?
Six with a game in hand for the Leafs.
Just, you know. Breathe. A lot of season left.
Breathe through it.
They lost.
Everyone loses to Tampa. It's okay.
they lost Norris and then Pinto.
Chuck? Oh.
Josh.
Yeah. That sucks. They almost lost Brady Tkachuk last night, too.
Oh, yeah, weird one. Anyways.
Smacked his back pretty good into the boards. Well, hopefully they get healthy.
Ottawa fans, just breathe.
I think they got one more in Florida this weekend.
I do maintain.
They got to win. Yeah. They got to beat Florida Saturday.
I do maintain that you can only switch teams when your team is committing some sort of malpractice or there's a.
Well, they leave.
Yeah, you know, or someone goes to jail or they go. Yeah. You can't just leave because you're not winning.
Yeah.
That's, you can't. I'm still rooting for the New York Jets.
Ugh. That's a tough one.
If I find myself ever lying about my name, I'm using Chuck Nelson.
I'm using Ron Mexico.
Chuck Nelson is a good handle. All right, let's go to Curtis in Guelph. Curtis in Guelph, are you?
This week, I'm going to dial it back a whole century. Just watching Anthony Stolarz being a 6'7" goalie dominate the game. I got thinking, if you could take either fans or players from the 1925 year and bring them to the modern day to watch one Leafs game, what player do you think would be the most surprising to watch on the Leafs? And also, what would be the one element that would be the most shocking, whether it be the money involved or the beer prices or equipment, shot, speed, whatever it is. I mean, at 1925, there wasn't even a forward pass yet. So, anyways, looking forward to hearing your thoughts and enjoying the show as always.
Curtis is going to make us work right now.
These are great questions.
That's
so
a great question.
100 years ago,
yes,
a fan comes today.
Yes.
What is most shocking?
Probably the massive elevated screen above the ice. Like, what the hell is that?
First of all, the average height in 1925 was like 5'4".
Napoleon was on defense, yeah. That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's his point of Stolarz. Like, yes. Just an absolute freak of nature.
With the shiny bucket, the sight of Stolarz might make a person from 1925 faint. Like, they might just faint. Oh, my God.
And we don't have
a beer is legitimately $22. That's going to be a home in 1925.
And we don't have to go back to 1925. We're doing it, like, from 1999.
Yeah.
We're doing it 2010.
Very different.
$20-plus dollars for a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
I got to tell you, one of the perks of getting sober is just not going bankrupt every time you leave the house. Yeah. That used to be devastating going to a...
Yeah, it's crazy how much a beer costs there.
Yeah.
Like, it's just too much.
But it's not just there. That's just what it is at pro sports events most places in Canada anyway.
So that's probably what, you know, if they were like taking out their silver dollar to buy a beer, they'd be like, oh, you need 22 more of those.
Player-wise, watching Connor McDavid skate full speed.
Yeah.
Would be a bit jarring.
I think even a player, anyone from, if you brought someone from, what was it, the Northlands Coliseum? Is that what it used to be back in the days for the Oilers?
Edmonton, yeah.
If you brought someone from 1985 even to a game now to watch Connor, they'd be blown away by how unbelievable he is. It's just a different level. But
that and the mascot.
The mascot.
Yeah. I don't know if someone from 1925 could, like, understand what, like, a mascot is.
Also, if we could still show them Zdeno Chara, that would be cool, too.
How about Daryl from White Rock, British Columbia?
Started watching Leafs in my father's lap with him drinking Molson Golden. I'm a diehard Leafs fan. I like to see them destroy, crush, humiliate, and embarrass and take no prisoners on Saturday. Canuck fans out here are a bunch of whiners. The team should get an Emmy for the best drama or soap opera.
Yes.
Heck, yesterday, Michael Bublé went on a local sports TV show and said he talked to the team. He phones them saying it all is good. Does he sing to them also, I wonder? Maybe the Leafs could get Jim Cuddy in when they lose 3 in a row. My question, why do you call it Kippers Clippers when Nick hasn't heard the clips yet? So, Nick, Justin, Sammy, I love the show. I don't miss it. Take care, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Maybe the best question of the show because I haven't got a clue.
Alliteration is the answer.
Kippers Clippers just sounds
it
good.
Just came off crispy.
I love that. Just two guys slandering Canuck fans.
I think
fans.
That's another good shortcut to getting on the show, just picking up what Sammy chooses, is if you can slander another Canadian fan base, that seems to be you know, do you think that Canucks fans are any more dramatic than Leafs fans?
Yes.
I do.
Different.
Too.
It's a different.
I actually do too. I actually think it's the only other market in Canada where I'm like, that's a different.
It's not. It's not getting any easier watching the attention that the Leafs get and continue to get for Western Canada.
It stood out to me here.
It's just sheer jealousy.
Well, I heard Bieksa talk about it once on Hockey Night in Canada, and he said that exact thing, that they hated.
Yeah.
That it was all you ever hear about is the Leafs, you know, and, you know, you change your start time. And I actually think, like, if you're a Flames fan and you lay down for a night when the Leafs are in there, that's all of a sudden people just write your team off here because that's all they see of your team. So it's they're very heavy games, big weighty games for Canucks.
Let's sneak in Michelle from Barrie.
I just wanted to touch base on the quiet fans at Scotiabank Arena. I am lucky enough to be able to go to at least one game a year because our company has season's tickets. I manage those tickets, so I get to go. Mm. I'm going to see the Carolina game in February, and I'm excited about that. I also wanted to say that, you know, I thought about all the different nights that they have at the arena. Like, why couldn't they have, like, a fans night? Aside from season's ticket holders, maybe they could offer one night only at discounted rates to get those fans in that can't afford to go to the games at those inflated ticket prices. And then they would at least have one or two nights of really excited fans in the building who are excited to be there, excited for their team, and can motivate them. I'm so excited for the Leafs this year, and I'm hoping that this is our year.
Thanks, Michelle. That's a great question.
Kipper's going to come up with some rude
comment. No, I'm not. I'm not.
Oh, it's because there's not enough money. Money. Oh.
Well, yes. But I won't say it as goofy as that.
I am thinking as we're talking about it, how do you keep those tickets out of the hands of the people who on the resale market would still pay three? You know, like if you give someone a ticket who can't afford tickets to a Leaf game, pretty good opportunity to flip it and make 300 bones in a, you know, in a heartbeat.
I think you would do like a raffle of some kind where, like, if you can't go, it goes back in. Or how about you just line up? It's like, hey, first 21,000.
It's like a college hockey.
Gates open. Gates open at this time.
There's a
line up.
There's a value for those tickets. Who's taking the hit? Because the season ticket holder owns those. So is he not buying those and now they belong to MLSE and MLSE is going to discount them for the fans?
How about you get 40 games a year as part of your ticket package and you pay whatever, a grand or $2,000 less than you usually would. And MLSE, who's just hurting for money, I'm sure, buys their real fans a night at the rink one time.
I love it.
Really a nice thought.
I know it is.
That will never happen.
Yeah, I know.
Never.
Thanks a lot, Chuck Nelson. Holy hell.
And the worst part is if, to Michelle's point, if you get real fans in there and it's unbelievable, then you cannot ever go back.
The season to ticket holders get killed even more.
The jaded fan.
Bad defense, though. It's like, well, we can't let good fans in. Your people won't know how bad the other ones are.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it. I don't think we have time for another one.
Maybe just get... Oh, the Bay Street Boys juiced up ahead of time.
Yeah. Do we have time for another one, Derek? We got to go.
What about a later start time?
Oh, yeah, 60 seconds.
Let's go to Luis and Moncton quickly.
I'm thinking that the Four Nations Cup is going to produce some good hockey for that, but I think that the league is going to pay for it in the second half. I think the quality of play is going to go down. What do you guys think?
What do you guys think?
Thanks.
Yeah, it's all the best players.
We're already there. Where your mindset is bang on. I think we've already experienced that already with the quality of play jammed into a schedule.
Yeah.
Great point by her.
There you go.
Okay.
What another successful Leafs line.
Another one. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, Sean Reynolds will join us. Our good buddy Doug McLean is under the weather. Mm. Comes from Vegas. Too much partying.
Vegas flu, huh?
Yep. Something bit him.
I've been bit there.
Back when we go national next.